Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. If you've been with us for quite some time, you've known that we were praying for Pastor Saeed Abedini, who was taken prisoner in Iran just for being a Christian. He was a Christian. He got saved. He gave his life to the Lord. He began to witness to people in Iran. Obviously, there's a lot of Muslims in Iran, and so they weren't turning. And so he began to pray about, you know, what to do, and he began to pray that God's kingdom would come. And next thing you know, he was able to plant over 100 churches, you know, in Iran. And of course, they arrested him for being a Christian. As a matter of fact, I want you to look back at the story. He's free now, but let's go back in time and see what the reports are like when he was in the Iranian prison. Let's take a look.
Saeed Abedini was convicted on January 27th, 2013, and condemned to 8 years in prison. Now, Iranian authorities are threatening to extend that prison sentence, something his lawyers say has been done to other Christian prisoners in the past.
They find some other way to set them up for a falsehood and try them for an additional conviction.
According to Abedini's wife, Nagme, prison guards have become increasingly hostile, reportedly tormenting the 35-year-old American pastor with constant psychological threats. In a Facebook post, Nagme writes, he has been under a lot of pressure and attack from the hardliners. The guards have also been threatening Saeed that he will never go free. They continually threaten Saeed that the only key to his freedom is denying Christ and returning to Islam. Abedini is serving his sentence in one of the toughest prisons in Iran.
This is a prison that was built for 5,000 individuals, currently housing over 20,000. So you've got incredible hygienic conditions. You've got threats from other cellmates. Certainly several of them see him as a threat right now as Iran and the United States are negotiating this nuclear deal.
Nagme says recent prisoner executions have also taken their toll on her husband. Despite the hardships, she writes that he continues to remain strong in the faith. He wants you all to know that the Lord continues to move in that prison and lives are being transformed. They had a great Easter in prison. Saeed desperately missed being with our family on Easter, but new Easter traditions were created in prison. Over the years, this journey has truly become more difficult and painful for Saeed and for the kids and I. Our family appreciates your continued prayer.
This is so, you know, amazing because we prayed, we asked you to pray, our audience to pray, and many people prayed and asked God to be able to free him. Well, he's freed. And the exciting thing, too, is he is speaking at Liberty University, giving his testimony, telling his story. As a matter of fact, let's go there right now, Liberty University, where Pastor Saeed, who was going through all this turmoil and persecution for his faith in Jesus Christ, let's join him at Liberty now.
Pastor Abedini, who has been held in Iran since 2012, has been released. There was an enormous push on Congress and the White House to act on his behalf. It's taken an awful long time, but this morning it looks like this Christian pastor, you're seeing him right there, Pastor Abedini, has been released from custody in Iran.
Welcome home.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good morning, Liberty University, and I'm so thankful that you have me here and as a witness of the strength of power of the pray, we can see that no government, no official, no power can stop the power of the pray of church. So today I stand. Yep. Today I'm here to, as a witness, to show the power of prayer and send a message to governments such as Iran government, North Korea, and China. We can send them a message that they can do anything with the churches, and persecuted churches are alive, and nothing can put them down, and the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the churches. And every time that they push us back, church arise, get united, and we see the glory of God in it. Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen. Pastor Saeed, I think we would love to hear, if we could just go back, how you became a believer, you know, there in an unlikely place like Iran. How did you come to Christ? How did your family come to Christ? Can you give us a little bit of your story?
Sure. I grew up in a very strong Muslim family. Actually, my mom, Bibi, she is relative to Prophet Muhammad. So I always been a very strong Muslim. When I was 14 years old, you know, I signed up in Hezbollah group to attack Israel. So I always been in pray, namaz, and fasting, reading Quran. And I always want to be a very good, you know, strong Muslim and please God. But to be honest with you guys, every time that I tried and tried, I didn't have eternal peace in my heart. And I tried to kill myself. I got a bad depression. And when I was just 20 years old, I just tried to kill myself. And in that time, I went to a church in Iran, Assemblies of God Church. It was a legal church there. And they just actually, they shut it down. The government shut it down 6 months after I got arrested. And the pastor told me, Jesus is Lord. And I was like, what? Jesus is not Lord. Jesus is a prophet. And so I made a decision to kill that pastor before I kill myself. And the same night, when I was just going from the church, walking all the way to the house, to my parents' house, and I was very confused. I saw that Muslim believes that Islam is the most completest religion in the world, but why I don't have peace in my heart? And the Christian, they said, Jesus is Lord. They made a human as a Lord and worship him, which I can't accept that. So I was very confused, very sad about, you know, the situation that I'm in it. And the whole way, I was just crying, walking to my parents' house. And when I arrived to my room, I remember as the first time, I just knee down and started like a normal pray, not like namaz. And I got Bible in one of my hand, Quran in the other hands. And I just knee down and start crying. Lord, please show me which one is true. I'm confused. Both of them, they said, we are true. And both of them has like millions, billions people, followers. And I'm just 20 years old, you know, and I don't know the reality of you. Just show me. And I was very tired and I slept. And the same night, after I slept, a voice woke me up and called my name. Saeed, Saeed, I'm coming back soon. Go to preach my gospel. And I woke up, looked around, no one was in the room, and I went to sleep again. And 2 hours after that, the voice woke me up again. Saeed, I'm coming back soon. Go to preach my gospel. I woke up and I said, I got psycho. You know, I need to go to psychiatric. So I made a decision. Tomorrow, I go to the psychiatric. So, and then I went back to sleep. But the third time, I heard a huge voice woke me up and shake the walls. And I woke up. It was like a bomb shaking the walls. And I woke up, and a voice very strong said to me, Saeed, I'm coming back soon. Go to preach my gospel. And I saw a huge light in the room that I couldn't see inside the light. And my body was shaking. My T-shirt in a second just get wet. And I was so scared. And as the first time in my life, I felt the strong, heavy presence of Lord that I couldn't handle it. So I just want to escape from that prison. I couldn't handle it. I said, amen. And then when I said amen, I could look at the light and I saw Jesus went to the mountain was in front of my room window, which Evin prison was under it. I went there as a prisoner for Christ later. And I fell down like a dead person and I went back to sleep. And the day after that, I was someone else. There was no hate in my life, and it was very clear how God in a human can be in one flesh, in one person as Jesus Christ, as the Lord and Savior. So all of my question was answered. So I turned to Christ.
Wow. Praise God. So Pastor Said, that's how God saved you, but you just mentioned the prison that you spent years in. How did you end up in prison? So after your conversion, how did that calling on your life play out?
The day after I got that command from our Lord, I just start obeying Him. I never went to Bible school, and actually until that time, I never read my Bible. So I just went to street, to parks, universities, and started sharing gospel with everyone that I saw. And nothing happened. No one believed me. I've been threatened, I've been beaten, and no fruit. So I just came back to pray, Lord, you told me to go, but no one believed me. This is a Muslim country. You know, they believe they have everything. They knew you. So, and just Holy Spirit put my heart, don't give up, keep continue. So I just obey, went to street, talked to people, and after months I saw 2-3 people turn to Christ. So we got a very small church, gathered together, start Bible studying, and actually we didn't have a place. My dad, if he found out I became Christian, he just kicked me out from house. Now he's here, he's Christian. And yeah, give him glory. So I remember I just put my Bible under my t-shirt that he doesn't see that I'm going to pray. He doesn't see that I'm reading Bible. And then we went to a park and start praying for a year till 12 at the night to like 7 in the morning that God's kingdom come to Iran. We have just like 4 or 5 young people, no future actually. No university, no money, no place to gather, nothing. But I just remember that verse in Bible said, seek the kingdom of God and all will be added to you. So we just make a decision together. We are in the hardest country for preaching the gospel. We don't have anything. We have been not connected with so many churches there. We were just alone. But we said, we're going to put God first. We trust in that verse. This is a promise of God. Amen. And if we just work on it, I believe God's going to bring a result and fruit. So for a year, till 12 at the night to 7 in the morning, we just start praying in the park. In winter, in spring, in summer, and just we continue praying and praying hours each night. And then I saw the churches was just exploding, increasing. 5 turned to 50, 500, 5,000, and now no one can number it. When I was in prison, I had the chance to go to the private hospital. And so I could see some of the Iranian people that they came and they recognized me because my story was in Voice of America, Persia, a lot in Iran. And then when we start talking, and then I found that they know me. And then when we start continue talking with each other, and I found they're Christian. And then when we start continuing my talking with them, I found that they have been in my churches as a 4th or 5th generation after I left Iran. So it's just all over Iran. So I start 100 house churches in 30 cities. And as the church was increasing, I got problem with Iran government. So they arrested me. They took me to prison and court so many times. This time that I've been arrested was the 5th time that I got arrested. And so the story of preaching prison was starting in my life.
This is so exciting to see the answer to our prayer. He was being so persecuted and he was arrested. He just shared his faith. He prayed the Lord's kingdom would come. And all of a sudden the churches just started expanding. He planted over 100 churches in Iran. We're so excited about answered prayer and Liberty University hosting, Saeed Abedini, the pastor Abedini, who was arrested for his faith in Iran. I want you to listen. This is another part of his interview, where he's talking about their fear was, the Iranian government's fear was, if you kept sharing the gospel, people would become Christians, and then they would get voted out of power.
They'd lose power.
It's, you know, human nature is just so sickening. It's like, really? Is it just power? Is that all you want? And it's amazing. But yeah, they were persecuting because they saw, you know, thousands and thousands of former Muslims become Christians. And that's a powerful transformation. You know, here he is. He had a Quran in one hand. He had the Bible in the other hand. He says, God, they have billions of followers. Which one's the right one? Yeah. And then God shakes his room and his sleep. And just, it was a crazy, awesome encounter with God. And it's just exciting to be able to see that. And because, I mean, the whole world knows about his Jesus, you know, because he stood for him. As a matter of fact, let's go back to Liberty University as we continue the interview with Pastor Saeed Abedini. Remember, he was arrested for his faith in Iran, and he was freed, and now we're hearing about his testimony.
Over 100 churches he planted.
Yes.
When I first heard of you, it was actually, the accusation was that you had actually started a Christian school. And so not just Christian churches that you were planning, but you were beginning Christian education as well. And you would go in prison, get out, go in. So, and then obviously, then all of a sudden you were there for, you had an 8-year sentence, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. The first time that they arrested me, they tried to put pressure on me to deny my faith. That was maybe 14, 13 years ago. And then after torturing me psychologically and, you know, putting me to jail, they saw it doesn't work. So that's the power of faith. You can see that Satan goes step back when you stand firm in your faith. And then when they saw it doesn't work, they start just stopping everything that I'm starting. You know, I start just training pastor leaders for the house churches. So they told me, okay, now you are Christian. For us, you are dead. You never be saved. You never go to heaven. You killed your soul. And we can't change you. They declare that, you know. But just don't change this Muslim to Christianity. Don't. They always use the word of kill. Don't kill them, you know. And just stop everything that you are doing. And I said, no, that's my calling. These people need to be equipped, need to be fit. So the conflict between us became, you know, more stronger and stronger. And then when they saw it doesn't work, they put a new charge on me by saying that you want to change the Muslim to Christianity by the plan of removing the Iran government. So they add a political sentence on my case to stop me, because legally in their parliaments, it's illegal to stop any religious activity. Everyone is free. You know, we have two different kind of law in Iran. One law is just supporting with mullahs. The other law is just supporting with parliament. And the parliament said that you can't evangelize, you can't change your religion. But the mullahs, they believe this is sin. And
they said you were a threat to the state.
Right.
Basically.
And they said you had a plan to remove government. And I said, I didn't want to do that. I'm just, you know, trying to help these people and, you know, get this eternal salvation. And they said, no. If these people now turn into thousand, hundred thousand, and thousand, they knew all the numbers, you know, they're very actually active, intelligent police of Iran. And they said if they turn to million, they're going to vote to have a Christian leader. And when they're going to vote to have a Christian leader, so we can't be in charge. They don't want to have an Islamic Republic government of Iran. So they're going to remove the government. And I said, okay, wait until that time that turned to millions. But now it's just 1,000 people. I said, no, you know, we don't wait until that time. We should just kill it right now. When it's the seed, it's just growing. So that was the reason that they took me to prison this time. And put 8-year sentence for me.
That's when we began to really hear your story more nationally. And I remember just hearing that they would move you from prison to prison simply because everywhere you were going, you were converting those who were prisoners with you. You were converting the prison guards. I think when Nagma was here with us, if you watched Nagma's old video when she was here, she said, so far we know of over 30 people that my husband has led to the Lord. Tell us a little bit about how God used you while you were there.
I'm actually very proud of our God. You know, I love him, the way that he moves.
Such a good thing.
Yeah. And the way that he is faithful. Doesn't matter what circumstances, what situation you go there, always your faith to Jesus Christ in the darkest place really works and bring light in every darkness. Now I'm here as a witness, not as I'm a good Christian or I'm a good pastor, I'm nothing. But as a person that I saw how God was moving there, and standing as a witness that no government, no official, no power can stop what God started in us. And so everywhere that I went, actually I'm not a very brave person, you know. When I had the interview with Fox News, they told me, you are very brave. I'm not. Actually, I'm a very fearful person. And because I'm a very fearful person, I'm always sticking to the feet of Jesus. Just don't let me be alone here. Because if you want to be realistic, there it's very dark. These people are very harsh. They really hate us. They really hate Christians. They really hate America. And they do everything that they can do to stop us. That's the reality. But our Lord is above all these things. And when you just come on your knees, you can see He's there. You can see He opened the doors and He opened the hearts of the people. I remember the last hours that I was there, my interrogator that he tortured me for 3 years came. My eyes had a band. I had a band eye just 2 hours before we go to the plane, come out from Iran. So I heard his voice, and I remember 3.5 years ago when he was torturing me in solitary, and he said, I'm going to put you in Al-Qaeda section. We're going to put you with ISIS. They're going to kill you. I'm going to do these things to you. And I just remember to say to him that everything that you do to me, the last day that I see you, I'm going to hug you, and I'm going to say I love you. You can't push hate in my heart. So when I heard his voice, my eye was banned, I couldn't see. But when I heard his voice, I just grabbed his hand, and he was scared. He thought I just want to, you know, attack him physically or saying something. And then I just get him and hug him. And I saw that he was shaking. I saw his lips, his body was shaking. And when he saw my love, he told me, you can remove your eye band. I remove it, and I said, do you remember 3 years ago, I said, you cannot just, you know, destroy the love that God put me in my heart about the lust. And he said, no, I don't remember. I said, yeah, but I remember that. And now because of that, I forgive you, I love you, and I pray for you. And you are a good man. And he was shocked, you know. When we put ourselves in a situation to love people, God's going to open the door. So when I went there in prison, most of my friends were the prisoner that their sentence was just because of spying for America. They were high educated, some of them genius. They help our country to pass information of nuclear site, genetic bombs and things that Iran government is trying to access. And because they love America, they love me. So I got a good relationship with them and other political prisoners. So it was a good time to use this opportunity to share gospel with them. And when I just talk about love of God, they were so thirsty, and they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And in the first month, I watched that tens of prisoners turn to Christ, and we have a gathering over there. The other prisoners, they call it Evin Church. So we started Evin Church in prison and start giving glory and praying to God. And every day we got communion, you know, with water and bread. So so it was wonderful time that we went on the bed, you know, we covered with blanket that the camera can't see us, and praying together. And I just tried to memorize Bible to teach them because we didn't have Bible. So it was a wonderful time to see them to turn to Christ.
So they're in Evin prison. You were just setting people free with the gospel.
Yes, and some of them still are there. They need our prayer. Yep.
Amen. So obviously the only people that are afflicted are not just those who are in prison, but the entire family goes through affliction. Nagma, your children, going through incredibly tough moments, just continuing to be a voice for you and other brothers and sisters around the world that are being persecuted and imprisoned. They went through incredible trauma as well. It wasn't that you were in a prison. That whole, your whole family's hope is shaken. Your whole life is... Tell us a little bit about that, because I know since you've been back, it hasn't been just an easy life past this. You've come back, and one of the reasons that you are taking a season of sabbatical is because you're focusing in on restoring places that were maybe even broken before you were imprisoned, and you're moving in. And we want to know how we can be praying for you right now, and you're, as a father, as a husband, as an author. You recently decided you're going to begin to tell that story. What's going on recently since you've been back, and how can we begin to just focus to pray for your future steps?
Last night I shared a post on my Facebook page about staying under pressures. When you go to pressures and try to stay on this pressure to keep your faith and obeying your calling that God gives you, you can see sometimes things is getting separated from you. You know, your freedom and your money, your children, your wife, your time, your young age, you know, and I saw my clothes, you know, I saw that things are getting just separating from me. And by watching this process, it's going to be hard for you to stay under this pressure. Yeah. And I believe always there is a blessing behind staying under these pressures. Yeah. And when you stay under this pressure until the end, you're going to see at the end of the road, Jesus' hand is just getting your hands and shaking your hand and give you a hug. But you need to finish well. I saw so many Christians when being together in prison, they start in a very good position. And they start churches, they stand for their faith. But when the process gets like a long suffering, it's going to be really hard to be patient and to walk with the Lord. You know, actually, the end of the story is the hardest part of it. And the end of the story is the best part of it. It has the more blessing, more result in it. So I'm the same as the other people. The last part of my story was the hardest. Still, I got free from prison. But to be honest with you, still I couldn't feel my freedom yet because of the new battle that I went through. I had, you know, different imagination when I'm going to be free, how it's going to be. But now I'm just seeing that the things that are in my life, it's not in good position, actually, especially in my marriage. But I believe God's in it. God is in the middle and in the bottom of everything in our life. And we need just to trust and keep fighting and don't give up and stay under any pressure, and we're going to see that he's going to be glorified.
Amen. Man, we are heavy-hearted for what's happening right now with your marriage, and I know that that there is great hope in knowing that you're not staying, that you're not alone in this. You know, from Pastor Franklin Graham to other just brothers and sisters in Christ, there's an army of people who are standing with you, fighting with you, praying with you. I think where we're really blessed today in this particular moment of a prayer request is that we have Stephen Thomas with us, our senior class president. And I've asked Stephen to come out and pray for you simply because of how this brother resonates at a deeper level than most of us with what your kids are going through, Pastor Saeed, and what your sister Zizi is going through, and your mom and dad who are here are going through. Mr. and Mr. Abedini are with us today. And so I've asked him to pray. Stephen, can you just take just 1 minute and tell folks a little bit of your story and why you really resonate with this, buddy?
First of all, I just want to thank God for just protecting you during that time of persecution. Thank you for suffering, and just praise God for persecution all over the world. The reason why Pastor David asked me to share this is because growing up, my father was also thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. Didn't know if he was going to come out alive. And it's just that encouragement to give you that even though you were away from your children, you were away from your wife, God had his hands on them. For me, I wouldn't have came to know the Lord unless my father would have been taken from me. Because before I was so reliant on his faith, I was so reliant on everything that he was doing for God, and I tried to emulate that rather than my personal relationship. So it was a blessing for him in that persecution, because I wouldn't have been able to experience God. I wouldn't have been able to see Jesus for myself. So just that encouragement that God's got his hand on your children. Like, even though you weren't there, he was protecting them. So I just want to pray for you and your family. And again, just thank you for everything. So let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for this time. Thank you just for your servant here. Thank you that you just brought him back and you were able to let him experience that suffering for your glory, God. And dear Lord, I just thank you for his family. I pray for Nagme. I pray for Jacob. I pray for Rebecca. I pray you just continue to be with them, continue to strengthen them, just to continue to let them know that you're there for them. And I pray you just heal any relationship in that family. I pray that you just take this time and just help them to get right back on the start where they were before. And to pray that they're just stronger than ever. And I just thank you so much for your servant. I thank you for his family, and I thank you for what they've gone through. And I pray that they just use that testimony to further your kingdom and to give you all the glory, God. And I pray for all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
That is so powerful. You know, all that time we were praying, that's what he was going through. And all he did was love Jesus.
That's right.
Share Jesus. Pray the kingdom of God would come. Next thing you know, churches began to birth all over Iran. And they were fearful that they were going to lose their power. The Ayatollah, mm-hmm. you know, the mullahs, and all, they were actually fearful that they were going to no longer be...
They're focused on what they had.
If Christians would have that much understanding of the government of God, that we're carrying the mm-hmm. kingdom of God with us, because the kingdom of God is not there, it's not there, it's inside of us, yeah. that if we believed in the kingdom as much as Satan and those who or under him believed in it, we would actually move with such authority. It makes me think about John G. Lake. He understood the kingly and the priestly anointing, and they were fearful. China is fearful of the church because they're scared it would actually lose their power. North Korea is fearful of the church, and it's like, you know what? We have to start walking in the authority that God has given us. And it's just so exciting to see, you know, Saeed give his testimony and to share. It's so powerful to hear, you know, Saeed. You think, yeah. will we ever see Saeed again? Mm-hmm. We're praying for him. We saw as many people that are that weren't coming out of that, yeah. that weren't making it. And he's being beat. I mean, think about, you know, what is the name of the brother that wrote the Green, I think it's called the Green Mile or the Green...
The Green Prince.
The Green Prince, yes. Well, when he got arrested, yeah. those guys would stick needles under their fellow prisoners' fingernails to torture them. Mm. And these are fellow prisoners. When they were saying they were going to put them with Al-Qaeda, that's how they would have treated you. And they would try to get them to confess, you know. Who are we talking about? What's his... but what's his name?
I don't remember his name.
Oh, my goodness.
Prince.
Yeah, it's a powerful. We actually had him on VFN mm-hmm. TV. He was talking about speaking from the Jerusalem Post. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Green Prince. Oh, my goodness, he's just lost. But he, I'm not getting anything. Thanks for the help in the control yes. room there, right? But the torture that goes on, where they beat Saeed with a chair and his shins, they blindfolded him. They would, you know, sit him in a chair and make him, when he starts falling asleep, they would hit him. Mm-hmm. Some of the reports are. And we have people that miss a red light turns on them, and they're in a fit for the next 30 minutes because they're 5 minutes late.
Yeah.
It's like, how can we, if we can get in line with the reality of when we go after God, that those that don't go after God are going to give us flack, they're going to give us a mm-hmm. difficult time. And sometimes it's even members of our own family, Jesus said. And he said, don't suppose I came to bring peace, but a sword. But the power, I mean, the ultimate thing, like he said, at the end of the road of this persecution, is Jesus there to give you a hug. I mean, yeah. this is about eternity. Yeah, Yusuf. Yusuf is his name, the Green Prince. And he is the son of a leader of Hamas. Mm-hmm. And he found God and made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life. It was powerful. It was so mm-hmm. powerful. As a matter of fact, we'll make that hopefully related yeah. here. But Saeed can relate to that as well. And I think about, you know, the American church, and just a little bit of things start happening to us, and we just start...
We give up. Well, I think that's powerful. Like you said, it's just like when we recognize the pressure and we just simply stay in the pressure, we'll see that things are going to separate, but you're going to see that you're going to be drawn closer to God and just see Jesus in that entire process, and to see him in the reality of Evan Prison. And he starts Evan Church, and it's just like, you can just imagine.
And they meet under a blanket.
Exactly.
America would say, is that an air conditioner?
Is there air conditioning in there? And it's just like,
do they have child care?
This is the reality of just birthing the church in all places. He says, God, let your kingdom come everywhere you go. And to see him in that journey of just like, to think there are people right now gathering in Evan Church because of his faithfulness to just share the kingdom. It's just it's powerful.
We get rid of all of our luggage. You know, some people would say, well, that couldn't be a church because they don't have a worship leader. They have all these things people say, and it's just like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus didn't travel with a band of musical instruments. He traveled with a band of, you know, disciples,
right?
But, and you think about it, it's like, my God, we got so many limitations. And somebody told me once, you know, it's like $3 or $4 million for a church plant. Somebody even said, you know, raising a child costs several $1 million. I'm like, I don't know what child you're talking about. Don't tell that to my children.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, this is time for us to just learn from our brother who just went through all this. And here he comes back to America. His wife's been in America for a while, so she's been kind of Americanized for how we are. And a wife that he's been living with for all these years now, conflict came in there. We don't know the details and all that, but it's just like, you know, sometimes we can get so Americanized, all of a sudden those who don't go that way, it's kind of a rough road to go when you stick with the same principles you had in your previous country. And it's like, man, you know, I thank God for Sight. I thank God for Liberty University hosting him and bringing him in and sharing his testimony. Today we are celebrating Saeed Abedini, who is free. He's back. Yes. He's in America. Franklin Graham is ministering to him right now, and of course he's been back a little ways, but this is great to hear him come right out. He's going to be writing a book. I want to call it Evan Church. He's going to call it, you know,
it's Evan. Be exciting.
Did you ever say the prison is located up under where Jesus?
The mountain of what God showed him is just the mountain of God.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where he ended up, because he saw his salvation came, you know, in that dream. But then he gets arrested years later, and he's right there where he saw Jesus.
Wow.
It's encouraging. It's not exciting, I guess, but it's like, you know, going through stuff. Diamonds only come under great pressure, and when you see people that are willing to go through pressure and stay faithful to God, that beauty comes in their life. But so few people are going through pressure. It's like people start thinking it's strange to actually have some integrity and hang in there and press through, and think, well, it's just the Marines that press in. But you can press in, can't you?
Yeah.
You can press.
Breakthrough. That's the thing. It's just like, you can say it, but when you realize that the reality of it in life, you see it true. It's just like, it's true. Breakthrough comes when you stay faithful in the pressure. And it's just like, that's where God wants to show himself in those moments and say, that's where you see him the most beautiful.
Yeah, and he said, you know, he says, people say I'm brave. I'm not brave. I'm scared. I just stay at the feet of Jesus. That should encourage everybody thinking, you have to muster up some sort of fake courage versus that God is going to protect you. I love the statement that he said, too. He says, I'm so proud of our God. I'm so proud of the Lord.
I'm proud of God.
I'm proud of him because what he does, seeing all the things that he does, and provision and breakthrough and miracles like that come when you need them, not when you're thinking, I got 5 minutes. Could you just swing in a miracle? That doesn't happen. But it's this, you know, one thing that we are seeing and believing God for is everyday miracles, but we have to have that everyday faith. And they come with desperation. When people are desperate, they're willing to do anything to be able to see God move, and God moves. But why do we have to get to the place of great desperation, you know, for that to happen? Why do we have to get in great desperation? As a matter of fact, we're going to go right to letting Pastor Abedini close us out in prayer today. He's praying for the persecuted church. I mean, who would know better? I mean, you have North Korea, you know, who just supposedly Kim Jong-un just had his brother killed in Malaysia. And we have China and what's taking place with the persecution in China. And I just so in tune with and so thankful for Saeed Abedini. And we're just going to listen to him close out today's program, because we always close him in prayer. Let him close it out in praying for the persecuted church. Yeah.
Pastor Saeed, come lead us, brother, in prayer. Would you? We have over 100 million brothers and sisters that are being persecuted for their faith at this moment. Many, many people who've not seen the prayer of being released out of prison come into fruition yet. A lot of kids who don't get to hug their daddy, in just a little while, you'll get to go and see your kids. You get to go, you have the freedom today to go to Washington, D.C. A lot of people who don't have what you've been given, but we want to stand with them today. We want to wage war for them. Will you pray for the persecuted church?
Sure.
Let's pray.
Lord God, the Father, in Jesus' name we come to you, Lord. As we all saw that we all pray together, chain our hands together, and you brought me here. And I believe that when we pray here, we get united together, chains our hands together in unity for one purpose. You're gonna say amen. We pray for all these countries, Lord, in Middle East, which their government, they don't let gospel we preach. But I believe in the unity of prayer, and I believe in the God that you are, that you can remove everything that is stopping the preaching gospel over there. I pray for million in the Middle East, the Muslim actually, that they don't know you and they think they know you, Lord. I pray that you touch their heart, you touch their mind. In the places that no missionary can go there, you can go there and meet them as you came to my room and meet me face to face personally. You can do it for all these people, Lord. We pray and raise up all of them to you, Lord, and we ask your blessing. We ask your God, your Holy Spirit, touch their heart, touch their lives, Lord. Touch the government official, touch the future of this nation, Lord, and you be glorified. We ask your fire, your revival, Lord, upon this nation, upon this government. In Jesus' name, we rebuke every Satan working there. We rebuke everything that's not from you. In Jesus' name, we rebuke every chains, everything that Satan put in these people's lives. In Jesus' name. And we've opened your mighty hands there. And we're going to see in future millions and millions turn to Christ. You're going to be glorified. We're going to see your kingdom increase all around the world. And we accept it in Jesus' name by the power of your name, Lord. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.